I can't tell you how many places like where we'll go and like no one holds the door. They just walk right by. Thanking people when they let you out of traffic, you know, giving a wave. Hey, thanks. That was really nice of you. Doing that for someone else. You know, just common decency of everyday things that we're still doing that can become better when we model this for our kids and we teach it to our kids. Welcome to the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, licensed psychologist, certified coach, and Gen X mama of two amazing boys. My belief, you can't be an awesome mama unless you're taking care of yourself first. And that's exactly why I created Mama Shrink. You'll get my 20 plus years of experience combined with some very real life struggles. And together we'll unpack the mental health, the physical health, even spiritual health to get you loving your mama life again. Listen, these kids of ours, they're only young once, and it goes by so fast, and you're never ever gonna get this time back. We must learn to enjoy this wild ride of parenting. So if you're up for it, mama, let's do this. Hey mamas, before we jump into today's episode, I just want to remind you that although I am a licensed psychologist, I'm not serving here as your psychologist. This podcast is not a substitute for direct mental health care. If you're struggling with a mental health issue of any kind, please reach out to a licensed professional. You can also contact the National Suicide Crisis Line by calling or texting 988. There's no shame in having a mental health issue, and it should always be taken seriously. Welcome back, mamas, to another episode of the Mama Shrink Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Hauver, and today I am going to discuss how to teach your kids manners. So this is kind of a pet peeve of mine, but I do think as moms, we, you know, and dads, but we need to definitely be better about teaching our kids manners, because I notice a huge trend in more and more kids not having them. And it's just rude. I mean, I don't know how to say it any more graciously. Like, it's just rude. And I think as a culture, we can all deserve a little more kindness in the world. And part of kindness is having manners. And I'm going to go through a lot of different examples and ways we can do this. And it goes beyond saying please and thank you. But I will say that I've even noticed a lot of kids not saying that. And, you know, I think my boys get embarrassed because if we're out somewhere or like I'm volunteering in their school, if someone doesn't, like if I give, like the other day I was giving out candy in his classroom for her Halloween party, and you know, they were just taking, they were like just grabbing all the candy. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, like if my kid was doing this, I would be like, aw. But can I have another one? Give me another one. And then giving it to him and then not saying thank you. So I stood there and I was like, hold up. Everyone gets one first, and then if there's more, you can have another one. I said, but when I give you the candy, you're going to say thank you. And these kids were all staring at me like I had three heads. And then I look over out of the corner of my eye, and Thomas looked mortified. He was, but even though he looked a little embarrassed, he had this little smirk on his face, like almost like, good mommy, they like kids need to learn this. So I'm not saying I'm the queen of manners. I'm just saying we have to start practicing this better at home. And when you go in a class and you volunteer, you can see really quickly who are the kids at home that are having manners and who aren't. Because there were some kids in that class that were so respectful and came back and said, "May I have another?" And you know what? Like I usually do as a, you know, mom and a psychologist, the kids that were sitting there quietly and not asking for more, I went out into my little stash bag and came back in and gave them extra candy. So I'm just saying we need to do better as a society with our manners. Oh my goodness. Like, I mean, between, you know, just seeing like, I mean, in the middle of a store, and I rarely go shopping because it just drives me crazy anymore. There was a time in my life where, you know, I would have done anything to go shopping. Now I'll do anything not to go have to go shopping. So, you know, being in a store and like someone just having a full-blown conversation with someone and not giving a crap about when anyone else around them is thinking, like, that is rude. So I'm just gonna, you know, I'm gonna make this a little light, but I'm just gonna call it how I see it because it's rude. And I think to myself, does this grown woman know that this is not proper etiquette? Like, you do not walk around a store having a full-blown conversation thinking that that is not disruptive for the rest of us and no one wants to hear what you're saying. Like, I don't know where that became like, oh, sure, we can do that. Or if people just don't care, I'm not really sure. But we're just going to have a little fun today and discuss manners. So I'm just going to kind of go through why it's important to teach manners, leading by example, some practical strategies for teaching manners, nurturing kindness in the world. Like, we need kindness, and being able to nurture that and show that to our kids. And, you know, some challenges in reinforcing the manners. But really, I don't feel, you know, I ask you guys to think about some really hard things on this show. This, I don't feel, is one of them. This, I feel like maybe if you're a listener to the show and you know someone that maybe isn't having manners, maybe you could throw like them a little piece of this, you know, so we can start spreading the word that we have to start having manners. And with, you know, the holiday season of shopping approaching, now more than ever, right? Like, we have to have manners. So let's just dive into it. So I might just blurt out some other things that come to me as I'm going through this whole thing, but let's just start with some examples, shall we? Let's just do some examples. That'll be fun. So some of the top ones, I believe, are interrupting. Now, with kids and even adults sometimes people are a little more excited and, you know, they're just a little bit more interrupting and they don't do it in like a rude way. We know when interrupting is in a rude way, right? Like, almost like I'm kind of not listening to you and I'm just waiting to say what I'm going to say, or, you know, just doing it in an aggressive way or a tone. Like, I feel so bad when I'm at the grocery store and someone in front of me is like being mean to a cashier for no reason. And if the cashier is trying to say something and the person's just interrupting, oh my goodness. Like, if you catch me on a real sparky day, I'm likely to say something. But, you know, the way the world is now, you're scared to say anything. But interrupting, okay? So we have to teach this to our kids. So if our child is interrupting, we can kindly, first of all, we have to model it. We have to not do it ourselves. Or if we find ourselves doing it, it's fine to say, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Our kids are going to see that. Our kids are going to model what we do. So all of this is really going to come back to modeling and doing this yourself. Because again, as I say all the time, we cannot tell our kids to do something if we're not willing to do it ourselves. So you can say to your kids, like, you know, when you're at school, do you wait for the teacher to finish what she's saying before you answer the question? Or, you know, I noticed when you were talking to your friend, you cut them off when you were talking. And you can just explain it to them. Don't criticize them. Don't be mean to them, but just pointing it out. Speaking disrespectfully. Oh my goodness. This is a big one for me. When I see a kid speaking disrespectfully to another kid or to an adult, that is just, to me, unacceptable behavior. We cannot let kids think that it is okay to boss other kids around, speak disrespectfully, you know, speaking disrespectfully back to an adult who says something. That should just not be happening. So that's one where, you know, I tell my kids all the time, like, if I saw you speaking to that person in the way this kid did, that would not fly. You know that, right? Like, that's how the conversation always goes. Or I'll say, if I ever see you do that, you know you'll be in trouble, right? And my kids don't do that. Like, if my kids ever spoke disrespectfully to someone, and honestly, I mean, this one I am going to brag a little bit on my kids because they just wouldn't. And if they did, oh my goodness, they know I would. I'm at a point where if someone called me or told me that my kids did that, I know my children did that for a really good reason. Like, it would have to be like something really horrific for them to do that. And so I probably would be thinking in my head, oh my goodness, what was the whole situation? Because that's a big one, that we do not speak disrespectfully to another child or to an adult. They can come home and complain to me about stuff, but that doesn't happen to other people. So we have to be better at teaching our kids that that's not acceptable, that we have to communicate more kindly, that if we're that frustrated, we have to do something to manage our anger, and what are some ways we can do that in the moment so we're not, you know, telling other kids what to do or being disrespectful. My favorite. Please and thank you. When did we not say please and thank you? Like, basic manners. May I please have that? Thank you. You know, and I think as adults, we can say that to a child. So if I have a child who doesn't say please when they ask for something, I'll say, please, may I have that? I'll say exactly how they asked me, but I'll add a please to it and saying thank you. Like, these are big things. Like, if your child, you know, is over at someone else's house saying, thank you for having me, or knowing that they're going to say, yes, please. Simple things, please and thank you. Ignoring or excluding others. So this is a hard one because, you know, sometimes we don't mean to do this, or I sometimes see kids do this when another child is just being too much and they need a break. But to me, that's where you're setting a boundary and you're not excluding. So is a manner to, you know, make someone else who's like sitting alone feel included, like, or going and saying hello, and not leaving someone out. I mean, yes, we can't go include everyone in all of our stuff, but I'm talking about, you know, literally like excluding a peer, like by being hurtful or rude, like, you know, just ignoring them or not saying hi, like the basics, not an event or something like that. We're all going to have our own social circles and we can't invite everyone to everything, but just hello, goodbye, how are you? Even if you don't completely care for the person, you know, to just not be rude. Just, you know, it's there's nothing wrong with just keeping things cordial. And again, that sets the tone for your child. Pushing or shoving. Okay. Like, this should not happen. It does. Hopefully not with adults. But I see it a lot with kids. So I think it's important that we talk to our children and say, you don't push or shove anyone at school, do you? Or, you know, you never push anyone. you know, even when my kids were little, you know, like seeing a kid like at a playground, like push another kid down, even if it wasn't my kid, I would be right there saying like, you are not allowed to do that. So you have to sometimes correct other kids' behaviors, and hopefully their parents will realize, okay, that's not okay. Now, sometimes I've heard of situations where the parents are like, why are you yelling at my kid? And then the other parent saying, because they just shoved that kid down, and then an altercation. But that's when you have to know, okay, I'm not dealing with a level-headed human. I need to remove myself. But we have to teach our kids basics of not pushing and shoving, not listening. So, you know, not looking at your cell phone while you're having a conversation or talking to someone while you're staring at the computer screen, not pausing and stopping what you're doing and giving the person your full attention. And then the person says, are you listening to me? And you're like, yeah. When no, you can't possibly be. It's stopping what you're doing and listening to the other person. We need to do this because people are on their phones a lot, and it's important to stop what you're doing and make eye contact and actually have a conversation or a response. And really, I've seen a lot of kids come in over the years and feel really sad, like their parents aren't listening because they're checking their phone all the time or, you know, always on the computer or whatever. And sometimes we don't even intentionally mean to do that, but when your kid's saying that, that's kind of like a warning of, okay, I need to stop and listen to them when they're talking. One of the rules that I have in my house is like when we're eating, we're not in screens. We're going to have a conversation. We're talking to each other. I also do that like when they run in the door from school and want to get on something, I'm like, nope, we're going to stop and have a conversation. So it's always practicing, telling them, listening to someone else. And when I see my kids not listening to me and like staring at something else, I'll be like, you're not listening. That's rude. And just pointing it out, like, let's not be rude. We don't do this. Making fun of other people. Yes, it still happens. And, you know, I'm sure all of us in our lives can recall events from when we were young of making fun of people or being around someone who made fun of someone and how cruel and hurtful that is. It's just mean. There is no reason we have to make fun of other people, even if you don't care for them. Like, if you're making fun of other people and they're not really doing anything to deserve that, or like even if you're talking to your partner about someone or criticizing, like, oh, did you see what so and so looked like, or oh, they put on weight, or oh, yeah, they looked really, you know, like worn down. Your kids hear that. And your kids now know, like, oh, it's okay to say bad things about people. And especially when it's about stuff that's just mean. So teaching your kids, we don't say this stuff to people and hurt their feelings. And letting kids know, we especially do not say stuff about things that people have no control over. So we really, like, that was always a rule since my kids were so young. Like, we don't say anything about someone with a disability. We don't say anything about skin color. We don't say anything about someone's appearance. Those are things that just don't happen. So that's a really important thing that maybe just like passes by your mind, but we do need to point this out to our kids. Being impolite at the table. You know, I think, yes, kids are going to be crazy. And I have two boys and they often are just always learning manners. But I have to teach them those manners. So I have to say things like, you know, when we're sitting in a restaurant, you don't burp, or you can't fart at the table when we're out to eat. And you shouldn't fart anyway, because it's rude, because we're all trying to eat. Or, you know, whatever it may be, like, get your stinky feet off the table. Now, I grew up in a family where it was like you couldn't have your elbows on the table. I never really completely understood that one, so I don't really go down that road. I know it was proper etiquette back in the day, but, you know, not shoving food into your mouth, you know, talking with your mouth open with food in it, you know, waiting to, I don't know, like there's so many things around the table that, you know, kids can do always because they're always, you know, slurping through a straw too often, you know, too much or whatever. It's like saying, it's not making them feel bad. It's just, well, it depends, you know, like you can be funny about it. Like with my kids, I'm like, don't put your stinky feet on my table. But you could say like, could you not slurp when you're drinking the water, you know, or honey, you got to chew with your mouth closed. Stuff like that. Say it nicely, but we have to teach them. How are they going to know? Or using silverware. Like we do know we use utensils, you know, so that's one that's taken place in my house for sure. So, you know, all these things, you know, it's a lot holding the door for other people. I mean, some of this stuff is just like things that I would think would be, you know, normal, but I can't tell you how many places like where we'll go and like no one holds the door. They just walk right by. Thanking people when they let you out of traffic, you know, giving a wave. Hey, thanks. That was really nice of you. Doing that for someone else. You know, just common decency of everyday things that we're still doing that can become better when we model this for our kids and we teach it to our kids. So, you know, not talking, you know, on your cell phone loud. I already talked about that one. Waiting in line and not budging. I mean, gosh, I don't know. That probably still happens. Screaming at your kids when, you know, or screaming, like yelling, getting angry in public, like, oh my goodness, why are we doing that? Unless it's like a really like serious incident or, you know, we have to learn to control that stuff. Oh, not smiling or saying hello, just, you know, when you know some, I mean, I don't understand that, but, you know, saying hi. Texting while someone is talking. That's the same thing as like keeping your face in your phone. Like, no, we can't teach our kids that this is okay. And our kids are growing up with all this media. So they really have to be taught like cell phone etiquette. And we can only teach that if we're modeling it. And, you know, with the texting, even I always say to the boys, like, even when we've been in a restaurant where they have those little video game things on the table, like we don't have it everywhere else. We need it there too. And they want to like get on there and play it. I'll be like, excuse me, we're going to sit and eat this meal. Like I brought you out to a nice meal so we can enjoy each other's company, not stick our face in the, you know, thing on the table. And so I've just like been not like trying not to allow that because I have to think like, okay, before I was kind of doing that because they were younger and like they were so fidgety and all over the place. But now they're at an age where they can have a conversation and it's just rude. So I'll tell them no, unless you want to like go eat somewhere else where you can, you know, just sit and do that. So, you know, I think we can make light of it. But, you know, there's things that are going to get worse as they become teenagers, like, you know, like leaving their dirty socks on the floor, like teach them to pick up after themselves, putting their, you know, clothes all over the place and not putting them away, you know, blaring music really, really high when like there's kids there and, you know, there's stuff like, no, we don't need to do that. Leaving other kids out of a conversation just to be mean, you know, and how hard is it, even if like, you know, you're teaching your kid, like, look, you know, you might not have all of your friends that you want to sit with at lunch, but, you know, if someone doesn't have someone to sit with, like ask them to come over, or if they're trying to talk with you, don't be mean to them, you know, and if, you know, one of the boys are like, well, they were, I mean, if it's something that's causing them stress, like they're being like completely annoying and not having manners themselves, then I will talk to them about how to address that. But I always am teaching, like, don't let anyone feel left out, you know, try to include them. Oh, email etiquette. Like we have to teach email manners. Like don't, I can't even tell you, how many doctoral students apply to work with me, and if they don't send me a formally written email that should be done in a professional way, I don't care how talented they are, I just delete it. And actually, I'm kind of at that point with lots of things. So it's like, if it doesn't say dear or, Dr. Hover, even if it's, Mrs. Hover, but when people who hardly know you just say, hey, Cynthia, like, what? Like, that's already got my red flag worked up. Not that I want people to call me doctor. It's just a sign of respect. Like, oh, okay, I know that you did X, Y, or Z. This is what you have on all of your stuff. So clearly I should start with that. And usually I'm going to say, call me Cynthia, right? But there is a difference, and it comes back to having etiquette and manners of saying, dear Dr. Hover, I'm writing because blah, blah, sincerely the name. I can't tell you the things that I get sent to me that say, hey, doc. I mean, I've had that. I've had Cynthia. I've had people spell my name wrong. And instantly, I'm like, done. Nope. If you can't write an email, then you clearly, I can't. So that's something we have to teach our kids, because I think as the world gets more and more, less communicating with each other, like, those skills are going to be a big deal breaker. And I've heard of other people in professions saying, like, I have not offered someone who I thought was stellar and did a great interview and all of their stuff was phenomenal, but you know what? They never followed up and said thank you. They never sent me a thank you. And I thought, I can't. And that's a huge one. Thank yous. Thank yous. I was going to say thank you cards. I think thank you cards are still a really nice gesture. I really, really do. And I think thanking someone for something when they did something for you with a simple card or an email even is very important. And this is one that we need to really, I believe, keep doing, because it makes people not want to do it again. We're expecting, sending something at the last minute and wanting it done instantly. But, the email etiquette just has to change, and it's going to be our communication of the future, and we really need to get better. I don't even know what text etiquette is anymore. So I think that's just the whole new minefield that I don't even want to address. But with the thank yous, like, a simple thank you card, and teaching your kids, like, after a party and everyone comes and spends money on you, we send thank you cards. If we have a birthday party, a graduation party, a whatever, we send a thank you card. Now, I don't think you need to send a thank you card for someone that you're really close to who buys you a gift and you're just like, oh, that's so sweet, thank you. Like, that's different. But when you're having any type of, like, formal event, like, send a thank you card. I used to get so mad when my kids would have little birthday parties and they'd be tearing everything open. And I'd be like, take your time so I can write down people's names and see what they gave you so I can send them a card. And teaching them that. Or even if someone sends you, a sweet little card in the mail with, money in it for a holiday for your kid, making your kid call them and saying thank you. So if grandma sends you $10, in the mail, or even if she sends you a dollar, or even if she sends you a card, if she's thinking of you and you haven't talked to her in a while, I think it's like, let's call and say thank you, right? Or if, people are having any type of formal event for you, weddings, gosh, I hope people still send thank yous for weddings, shower gifts, anything like that. Like, if you don't, it's like saying, oh, I'm glad that you took all this time and picked out a gift for me and came to my party. And no, I'm not going to take the time to send you a thank you card. Like, it's rude. I'm sorry. Someone has to say it, so I'm saying it. I told you I'm going to keep it real. And it's just rude. So I want to see kids go out into the world with manners and be kind. And we know that when kids do this, it has a ripple effect. It has a ripple effect. We touch people on a daily basis with our actions. So if you smile at someone, you might not know how much they needed that smile. If you thank a cashier who looks really tired out, or just have a little conversation or a little light, do you know how much that means perhaps for that person that day, or the person working at the fast food restaurant? You're still doing what you're doing, and it only takes a second to show kindness. Or someone's walking out of a store and you take the time to hold the door open. Like, I teach my kids to do that. I love when people are like, oh, thank you, they're so sweet, what good boys. But then I think to myself, oh, why is that? Like, that should just be expected, right? Like, it shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, they're actually doing that. And that's what feels sad. Or what really is like a reverse on that is I've had my boys where, you know, they usually always hold the door for someone. And if they don't, they'll hear about it from me. But they've held the door before and people have walked right out and just been like, and didn't say thank you. And they're like, mommy, don't you think they should have said thank you? I'm like, yes, they should. And then we'll have a conversation about that. Like, yes, when someone does that for you, say thank you. Just common things. But I think we need this reminder because we are living in a world that we are forgetting about manners. And, you know, now more than ever, we need to teach our kids this. We have to. So I'm sure there's other examples I missed. If you have one that I missed, oh, please share it with me. I would love to know. As always, you can reach me over at drcynthia@mamashrink.com. You can find me on all the socials except for TikTok. I do not do TikTok. And I can't wait to tune in next week, and have a lovely week, Mama. Thank you so much for listening. And I have some good news. I just created a Facebook group exclusively for us moms over 40 who are in the midst of parenting. If it sounds like something you're interested in, we would love to have you over there. You can find it at Facebook groups/Dr. Cynthia Midlife Mamas. That's Dr. Cynthia Midlife Mamas. If you like this podcast, we're going to go deep on all these conversations with a group of women who are parenting at midlife, and we'll also get your journey. I'm so excited to have this. So until next time, remember, self-care is not selfish. It's essential.